Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you today. Oh, my Lord, we've been so blessed all this week. The wonderful things that you have brought out into our very beings about hearing your voice and following it wherever you take us. You're the commander of the army of the Lord, and we are your soldiers, and we're yours to command. And we thank you for it. We're so blessed about it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, amen. Get those free study notes right now, because as you've seen, we've gone through a lot of things here, and you need to have the just kcm.org/notes. They're free, and you can use them to teach in the future. You need to get with your children and teach them just like you're teaching them. Listen, I can't say that strongly enough. If you don't teach them, somebody else will, and I guarantee you it may be somebody on the street instead of somebody that should be teaching them. You get them in the Word, and these notes and so forth will help you do that. Join me in welcoming Terry Law again. Terry,
hey, Kenneth.
I'm so thrilled with what you've brought us. The thing that's come out of this all week for me, and we've talked about it, any young person, anybody, well, actually, anybody, it's never too late. Mm. You can be 80 years old, yep, like Moses, and get in the will of God for the first time in your life. But God does not go pick out special people here or there or the other. No, no, no. Everyone He picks is special, because He has Himself inside you. And as you make Him Lord of your life, His plan for every person on this earth, everyone that knows Him, has a specific plan, a specific purpose, and it is in, if you could see the thing all together, it'd be outlandish, because He's able to do exceeding beyond all we can ask or think.
Yes, He is.
And that's what He's planned. Yeah. What is happening right now, Terry, particularly in the Middle East and places where you are and you're active in these areas, what's going on in there?
Well, I'll bring you a report that is current. Kenneth, I was in Iraq four weeks ago. I had opportunity of meeting with the Deputy Prime Minister of Kurdistan in the north of Iraq. I met with several other leaders, which I'll talk about in a moment. But what I've become aware of in Iraq is the fact that, and this is what the Deputy Prime Minister said, there's no answer to Iraq as it is currently constructed. The Sunnis and the Shia have fought each other for 1,400 years, but there are Sunni areas and there are Shia areas in Iraq, and then the Kurds are in the north. If they made it a United States of Iraq, with perhaps a headquarters in Baghdad, but they separated the warring nationalities, I think they could make the whole thing work. Whether that can happen and whether our current administration has the backbone to make that happen, I don't know. But I will say this, that the presence of ISIS in the Middle East has changed everything that I've known about the area since it exploded. Most people, most Americans, have no idea that ISIS was born out of Al-Qaeda, and that Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the man who put a hit on my life, wanted to kill me. He was the one who began to show beheadings on international television, and he loved the blood, and he loved the audience that it got. So ISIS is creating absolute pandemonium in that part of the world, as we all know, and especially because our government and our own policies seem so oblique. We don't really have a target. We don't really know what we're doing. We haven't put a plan in there that's going to work. But ISIS has a lot of things that people need to understand. ISIS is based on, they call it the prophetic methodology. Now, you and I would understand that because we believe in the authenticity of Scripture.
Yes.
We believe that what the Bible says it means, and we rest our faith on this book. ISIS, separate from most other Muslims, has gone back to the Quran of Muhammad. They have gone back to the 7th century when he wrote it. And they believe that they are the primitive best Muslims in the world, much better than the other nations like Shia, Sunni, etc. They have incorporated things that Muhammad did in his wars of captivity in the Arabian Peninsula. Number one, slavery of women. They believe in that. They brought it back, particularly beheadings. Amputations, crucifixion, slavery of women long-term, and all that that entails. This was practiced in the days of Muhammad, and ISIS feels that they are the most genuine Muslims because they've gone back to the what we would call the original text.
Yeah.
They are living out what Muhammad said, do. Most other Muslim entities through history have taken this and that. But these guys are saying, we're the literalists. We believe in what's written. Now, there's a principle that that Muhammad introduced and early Muslim teachers that involves the subject of a caliphate. Mm-hmm. A caliphate for us doesn't mean anything. But for a Muslim, if you believe the writings of Muhammad, any Muslims in the world do not feel that they are truly going to heaven if they have not committed themselves to a Muslim state that is a caliphate, that is growing, that is has nothing to do with the West, nothing to do with the rest of the world. It is a totally Sharia law-oriented, total Muslim society. And when someone will announce himself as a caliph and the head of this, then people will start flocking to the idea of the caliphate. Now, a lot of ISIS do not believe that if you are not a part of the caliphate, you are not saved. You will not escape judgment when everything ends. So when al-Baghdadi 2 years ago announced to the world that he was a caliph and that he was opening up this territory that they have seized in Syria and Iraq, about a third of both nations, it's about as much territory as Great Britain in terms of its size. Mm. Maybe 10 to 12 million people there. But they have announced to the world, we are a caliphate, we are going to grow, we are going to spread. We believe in an apocryphal doctrine, which I will mention shortly. What has happened is they have appealed to young Muslims or people who have Muslim orientation all through the West. Here in America, we don't know what's going on. I mean, ISIS could be living next door to us. We had a woman beheaded just 90 miles from Tulsa down in Oklahoma City last fall by a lone wolf killer. But the draw, and we've been trying to understand this in the West, the draw for all these young people is they believe it's the last days. The ISIS believes they are living in the last time. They believe that their Messiah is alive now. They believe that. And they have so indoctrinated and cleverly used the media to talk to all these young people who are tuning in, most of them just out of curiosity, see what's going on. But they have lit a fire inside of them, come and join us because we are building the end of the world. We are going to create the end of the world. We are going to bring the end of the world by Jesus himself coming and descending from heaven, not as a Christian, but as a Muslim prophet, and that he will establish world dominion for which is essentially a world caliphate for all good Muslims, and that will secure their heaven or their going to a place of paradise or happiness at the end of their lives.
Well, now that's a counterfeit
of the millennium.
Totally.
Isn't it?
Yep.
So, oh, man, I see that.
Yeah.
And I can see why, I can see why it looks and sounds so exciting to young people, because it has a daringness,
yes,
about it. We dare to cross the line.
Right.
We dare to do what Muhammad said. We dare to behead. We dare to go against all nations, everybody. We don't care who they are, other Muslim, anybody. We'll cross the line.
And what they're doing with the beheadings over and over again is they're spitting in America's face and,
yeah,
saying, we dare you. You come over,
yeah,
here, and when you come over here, Jesus is going to come on our side, and we're going to take care of America and the rest of the world, and we'll all be Muslims. That's exactly what they believe. And as preposterous as that sounds to us, they have made it a doctrine that young people are grabbing onto.
Now, on the other hand, I just got a report, about end of last week, about how this whole thing had backfired among so many Muslims. And they said, hey, if this is the real thing, I don't want any part of this.
Right. Let me tell you this. Something that happened in Egypt, we all saw or were given images of the 21 Copts, all Christians, beheaded on the beaches,
yeah,
of Libya. The whole world saw this.
Yeah.
What happened inside of Egypt with the parents of all these slaughtered young men, they went on national television and said, because we are Christians, we forgive what ISIS has done to our young men, our martyrs.
My
well,
goodness.
When that was broadcast in Egypt, it was broadcast over and over and over, one family after another, and that has created a groundswell, Kenneth, of moderate Muslims who say, I am totally outraged at what ISIS is doing in the name of Islam. We don't want to be a part of that. And when we hear Christians standing up and forgiving all of this stuff, they're starting to look at Christianity. I know a pastor in Amman, Jordan, who has led or who has 12 Muslims converted to Christ in the last couple of months. Right now, as a blowback against,
yeah,
all,
yeah,
of the PR and everything that ISIS is doing.
My.
And I think what they're doing is setting up a stage for revival over there by the absolute horrific things they're doing.
Well, Terry, it's obvious. Where sin does abound, and that's abounding sin.
Right.
And you can see where the Bible is referring to this as a time when sin is full.
Right.
When people begin to cross lines that nobody would even think of doing,
right,
before. And as they do that, grace does much more,
yes,
abound.
Grace.
And when it begins to surface, that's when the outlandish miracles begin to take,
right,
place.
Exactly.
Because that's the biggest thing the devil's got.
Yep.
Outlandish murders,
yep,
and outlandish sinfulness. That's the biggest thing he can do.
That's all he can do.
Now, you get over here, when Jesus comes on the scene, Terry, one of the last things that I heard Brother Oral say, he said, Kenneth, the tent anointing is coming back. And when it comes back, it's going to be big time. He said, expect it. Well, it hit last year, at least in my environment. And my audience has heard me tell this before, but I was invited to Dr. T.L. Lowry's 70th ministry anniversary celebration, and of course I went. Now, if T.L. Lowry's doing something, Kenneth's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I walked into the room where they're having it, and it was there. I mean, it was that.
Wow.
You know how that anointing,
yeah, yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah,
it just,
yeah,
kind of sucks the wind out,
yeah,
of,
yeah,
everything.
I know.
And the Lord said, the tent anointing is back big time. Well, I walked over to him and I told him what I'd heard. He just burst into tears and he said, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it, glory to God. Mm. Well, it began manifesting here at EMIC. It started last year. Just one Sunday morning, my daughter Terry was receiving the offering and the healing power of God hit that church and people started getting healed all over the place. It has happened every Sunday and every Wednesday since then.
Wonderful.
Every Sunday. Wonderful. Every Wednesday. And people have started coming just to get into that anointing. Well, I'm hearing this same thing from other people all over the country and all over the world. Mm. And like I told you earlier, I just got back from Africa and it's all over the place.
Wow. You know, it's
we're so, there, it's man.
It's so exciting to see that. But, you know, the one message I need to share today, Kenneth, comes from the Archbishop, the Syrian Orthodox Archbishop of Mosul. Mosul was the town where ISIS came a year ago.
Yeah.
and totally started slaughtering Christians, et cetera, et cetera. I asked the Archbishop, what was it like? He said, ISIS started going door to door throughout the city and giving people a choice. You either swear allegiance to Muhammad and Allah, or if you maintain Christian, we will behead you here and now. I said, how many people recanted? He said, maybe six. He said, they were addled people who weren't thinking right anyway. So I said, all of your Orthodox, Syrian Orthodox people stood there and said, we will not give up our faith in Jesus Christ. He said, absolutely right. Kenneth, when I started working with the Catholic Church and realized that there was something that God was doing amongst mm-hmm. them that we didn't understand at all, mm-hmm. Which we haven't had a time to get into this week, which maybe sometime we'll be able to do that.
We need to do that.
But anyway, to think of a Syrian Orthodox who were born ethnically a Christian because of where they live, they have never had to confess Jesus as Lord like you and I do and like we preach, believe in your heart. If you will believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Well, what kind of a confession is it for an ethnic Christian to say, you can cut my head off? That's the ultimate confession.
That is.
That is the ultimate
that
confession.
That is it.
You can cut my head off. I will not recant. I will not turn my back on God. And we've got brothers and sisters over there, Kenneth, and that's the one thing I've wanted to do in this series this week. Our brothers and sisters have stood up for God. I mean, we're having thousands of martyrs over there. Mm. We don't know they're there, but they are standing for Jesus, and they will not renege. They will not turn back on their faith. And that bishop, archbishop, he wept. He said, Terry, he said, St. Thomas came to Iraq with the gospel. Doubting Thomas,
yeah.
Brought the gospel to Iraq. Then he brought it on to India, had tremendous revival where he went. But he said, we've had a church here for 1,000 years, and for the first time in 1,000 years, I haven't been able to celebrate Easter because I was there at Easter, their Easter. He said, I was not able to celebrate Easter because my church is now a mosque. That's what ISIS has done, but in spite of ISIS, the incredible victory for the church is that, hey, you know, if God ever asked me to be a martyr, I would think that's the one way I want to go to heaven.
Oh, man.
Because of the reward for and the blessing of God on people who have that kind of faith. But these are our brothers and sisters, and I wanted to bring this message today just to say to them, they're alone, they're living in the streets in Erbil. 500,000 of them fled from Mosul, just ran in 48 hours, dragged their suitcases across the desert. I'm feeding 8,000 of those people every month. We gave them 700,000 meals last year, but we're ramping up everything we're doing with the food and the aid we're getting to the people. And I believe that God has an incredible reward there. Mm. But this is a message that I want for those in your audience who are listening to us. They said, we are your elder brothers. That's what he said to me, the bishop. And I thought, yeah, that's true. They were in the kingdom before we were. They were the originals way back in the time of Jesus. You know, I said, would you pray the Lord's Prayer for me? The bishop speaks Aramaic. It's the language of Jesus. And there's only a few left in the world that speak it. And when he prayed the Lord's Prayer in the words of Jesus, I had the hair come up on my arm as I was listening to him say the Lord's Prayer.
Father, we pray right now for these people, their welfare, your protection, and the great and grand message that's coming out of there, that we're here to stay. We are believers, and Jesus is our Lord, and we will not change. Oh, Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for them. Thank you for
them. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, praise God. Terry and I'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.